Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet, sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we're going to be talking about sexual attraction, and especially sexual attraction from an energy standpoint, because what if it isn't just chemistry? You know, what if it isn't just those hormones that we smell? And there is a huge component of it that is that. We definitely are pretty base animal, you know, base animalistic in the way that we are attracted to people. The pheromones, the hormones that get us attracted to people, they're real. And at the same time, there's other things that attract us. There better be other things that attract us, because man, I had a child with someone who's like surprising. If you ever saw that person, you'd be like, wow, I'm surprised. But there's energetic things that go on, and you don't really know the purpose or the whys behind it sometimes. And then all of a sudden you have a life-changing experience and have an amazing child. So that happens. And then you meet somebody else who's the amazing father of that amazing child. So you never know what's going to happen. But there's always something that brings you together aside from the chemistry. The chemistry is what gets you usually started. Sometimes what gets you started is also the energy. People might be like, oh, so attracted to the vibe. You know, that person's got such a vibe. Or I don't know, what's the lingo that kids are using these days? Now that I'm 50, I feel like I can say that to like half the population. What are the kids saying these days? So whatever those kids are saying these days, vibe, the energy, whatever it happens to be, there is a frequency that people let off that will either attract you or detract you, distract you, do things to make you react, right? So some people, you know, those energies will deeply repulse you, right? I'm sure, like, have you ever walked into a room and you just feel absolutely put off by a certain person? And that can happen. And I've had funny experiences where I've actually been put off by somebody, and then later on they become my really good friend, which is even funnier. And so you never know what's going to happen there. And I've also had instances where there was like an immediate attraction, but then after a while it was like, oh, that burned out. So we can chalk it up to a few things. It's just relationships change. You know, that's just a natural thing to chalk it up to. And there can be like maybe comfort things that happen where it becomes easier to be around somebody, or, you know, maybe it's energy. Maybe it's bigger energy than, you know, we talk about it on the everyday. Maybe it is karmic. Maybe it is lifetimes. And before you go saying lifetimes, I'm turning this off, stick around for a second while I tell you a story about other lifetimes. And I could go into like past life regressions, but this one is far more interesting and to me gives a fine example of the potential for other lifetimes. So when Ziva, and for those of you who don't know Ziva is my child. And when Ziva was about 2 to 2.5 years old, my grandmother had died and my mom had inherited a bunch of things from my grandmother, that including a whole bunch of pictures. And in amongst those pictures was a picture of my great grandmother. And my great grandmother lived to 106. So she was born in 1896 and she died in 2002. Lived through 3 centuries. How freaking cool is that? She actually got like special papers for that. So 1896 to 2002, Ziva is born in 2008. And we get these pictures and things around 2010, 2011. And we're going through these pictures and Ziva's standing there and we're flipping through them. They're on the ground. And Ziva grabs a photo of my great grandmother at about the age of 95, maybe, and says, "Huh, that's me," and giggles. And my mom and I just look at each other and go, "Wow, that's so weird." And the weirdest part was that Ziva walked like my great grandma, like had a similar like stance, as if Ziva had been riding horses their whole life, never sat on a horse. But my great grandmother had ridden horses, and there was also some other things that were like very strange, that a 2-year-old who couldn't read a clock and can't read an analog clock to this day, it's like a mind boggler. Maybe it's just a generational thing, like a lot of teenagers now have a hard time with analog clocks. So the story is too. So we have that, what's me? And there were other funny little arguments that would come up between my mom and Ziva. And Ziva would say, "Well, when I was your grandma," and that's, I mean, and then Ziva would give us a story about when that happened to be that Ziva was the grandmother, and would say things that were like right on the mark about what that was. These are stories that I didn't even know about, so I couldn't even then said those stories to Ziva. So that was peculiar, and fascinating. And then there was another really funny thing that Ziva did, was there was an obsession for about 2 years of having tea time. And not just like the way that kids say, "Let's have tea time with the dolls and stuff, and could be any time of day." No, this was 4 p.m. every stinking day, that the fine bone, and it was referred to as fine bone china by a 2-year-old. "I need to get the fine bone china out," which is exactly how my great grandmother and my grandmother both had tea. "Get the fine bone china out." And after having the fine bone china out, you'd have to prepare and you'd call people. My grandmother and great grandmother both did this as well. I remember having tea time with my grandmother every day. I lived with her for a little while when my parents got divorced, so probably every day for like a year and a half or 2 years. At 4 o'clock every day was tea time, and Ziva at 4 o'clock every day for like a year or two would announce that it was tea time. And again, this is somebody who couldn't read a clock, and we both go, "Oh my God, there's 4 o'clock tea time." So there is something so intriguing about that. I want to tell you that story because part of what I think is fascinating is maybe we are attracted to people because of the energetics, because we have been before, and they are fascinate us. We remember them somewhere. We don't realize we remember them, but we do. So maybe you know somebody who's got a similar story that, like, I just told you. I actually know two other kids in this area who had similar experiences and are there, claimed at very, really small ages to be their great grandmothers, and would tell stories about family members. So that, absolutely fascinating, right? So we talk about energy, right? And we're many things, by the way. We're chemicals, we're water, we're minerals, and we are energy. And if you just look at the basis of this, the basic foundation of what we know right now in science, is that energy cannot be created or destroyed. So if you are energy, what happens to your energy? If your soul, that beingness of you, cannot be created and it cannot be destroyed, what happens to it? So that's just a concept to throw out there. Like, we're basically meat bodies that get electrified and turn on, and now we're alive, walking meat sacks. So those meat sacks start to decay. There's also energy in the meat sack, right? Like, when you think about decay and how much energy is created by decay, or if you are things like formaldehyde are going to slow down the decay. So I wonder if that actually also slows down the process then of whatever your next step in life would be, or if being cremated will speed that up for you. I don't know. I don't have the answers to that, guys, but these are the weird things that I think about in my head when I start thinking about what is energy and how do we play with energy and how does it flow through our bodies, what does it do, how does it wake us up, how does it get us alive, why do some people have a different kind of smell, you could say, to their energy? Because there are, if you are a bit clairolfactory, which is like kind of like psychic with smell, or you have like extra sensory smell perception, you might smell people's energy too, and you might be like, that person smells off. My mom has that talent. She can smell things in people, and it's fascinating. Fascinating, but not fascinating for her to walk around stores and smell like disease and bodies and stuff, kind of like a puppy. How dogs can smell cancer in people, my mom can kind of do the same thing. So, all right, that was me digressing, but I wanted to get that story in so that you could understand where I come from with with wanted you guys to know where I come from what I've observed when it comes to energetics, reincarnation, possibilities of that. So what is it that has us attracted to somebody? Is it something that we still need to resolve? Is it something that we have resolved and then we're just feeling connected to them because we're like, hey, there's been resolution. Let's have a good time this time. Yippee skippy. Well, let's find out. The one of the things I want to give as a disclaimer to this show too is that everything that we're going to be talking about when it comes to energy, even the stuff that I was talking about, energy not being created or destroyed in reincarnation, those are all concepts that are not Western, right? So these are all, we're talking, well, they were sort of a bit in every religion that got written out. That's a story for another show, not this one. So when we look at Hinduism, for example, and the Vedas, there's in the Upanishads, there's a lot of writings in other texts that are like non-Christian texts that talk about things like reincarnation and energy and chakras. So what I will be talking about today is I'm putting a disclaimer on this that I am fully aware that this is cultural appropriation. And I am fully aware that right now, especially in the West, the cultural appropriation around chakras is insane. I also want to note that what we talk about when it comes to chakras is like a diluted form, a diluted pile of information compared to what was written in things like the Vedas. So we're looking at a diluted form. So this is like the modern version of chakras. When I talk about chakras, in no way am I claiming to be a scholar of this, and in no way am I claiming to know anything more than anybody else has written in a book that's been written in English that has been translated from another language either. So I want to point that out because I both find it, I find reading about energy work fascinating, but I also do know, fully aware, that it is cultural appropriation. And I do know that there are people who are far greater experts on this than I am. And I am just happy to come and share some information that I know, things that I've learned over the years, and how I feel our energy works with attraction and how that might be attracting other people. So these are from mostly my observations. The show will be mostly my observations. This isn't in any way like a scholarly dictation on what are chakras, how did they get translated properly or improperly. I'll give you some basics, guys. If you are brand new to chakras, I'll give you some basics, the Roy G. Biv of all the colors of the chakras, where they are in the body, which there are arguments on that as well. Definitely conflicting information where most of them are the same, except for the root. Sometimes people talk about it as the base of the spine, but some people talk about it as the perineum. So, different takes on it from different translations or authors, I suppose. So, we will be talking about all of those things. We'll also do a little bit of breath work, which for any of you who know, would also know that that has been taken from yoga practices. Those were probably the first ones that kind of noted the need for breath work. I mean, every culture has breathed. However, who were the first ones to write it down? Were those practicing yoga? And so those texts go back thousands and thousands of years. So way before, probably way before anybody was writing anything in the West, as in Europe or North America. So we will be talking about all of that. And I just wanted to give you the disclaimer. So you are listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email. info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. If you're just jumping in now, I gave a little disclaimer before break just to let you know that we are going to be talking about chakras, and by no means am I qualified to be an expert in this field. I have studied energy work for like 30 years of my life. I have not written books on this. I am not a yogi. I do know this stuff, but I am not by any means, like, I have not studied any, I never like learned how to read Sanskrit so that I could like translate from original texts to give you that information, like from a different perspective. What I do know is that a lot of texts and books that are written now that are modern, that are really accessible, that are the ones that we're using as references for chakras. And I won't name them because I don't want to, I don't want to like insult people, but I have read some things on, read different articles by people who do read Sanskrit, who have looked at old texts, who have translated, and they say that a lot of modern books have watered it down, mistranslated, misinterpreted. So that's just an FYI. I think it's really good to know that that is happening. And by all means, you know, knowing the colors of the chakras isn't going to harm you. And if you do want to actually learn practices on how to get them cleared, I actually had a really great teacher who did study with somebody who was an expert on energy work and energy protection. This is like 20 something years ago. And I don't think he's still doing that work, actually. I think he walked away, and I think he actually joined like a cruise ship. I don't remember exactly, but he was great. So from him, I did get a lot of information. I wouldn't say that I was ever at the level that he was at when it came to teaching and awareness, because I can sometimes see in people how aware they are. And I think he was really, really aware. So Maybe that makes me aware. I don't know. Yes, it does, but not maybe. Okay, whatever. Doesn't matter. So when we talk about these chakras, I'm going to give you the lowdown, and then I'm going to give you some briefs on what I did in those classes, what I learned. I'm just going to give you what I learned, because that's all I can go from, right, guys? So that's what I'm going to go from. So the chakras I find are easiest to remember by going Roy G. Biv. Why? Because that's the color of the rainbow. So red, orange, yellow, green, G, B, blue, indigo, violet. So where do they go in your body? They start at the base of your spine or your perineum. And then the next one is just around where your genitals would be. So you got your root. So they're numbered like 1 through 7. You can number them that way. There are words for them that are not in English that I don't even want to try and bastardize, but I'll just let you know that they're like root, sacral. Sorry. For those of you listening, as it root, sacral, solar plexus, heart, throat, third eye, and crown. Now, a lot of other people will say there are so many more, and I have to agree, there are so many more. One's above, one's below, one's in your hands. These are the seven, we're going with like the seven basics, right? And the root chakra has to do with security. It's very tribal, has like a lot of tribal energy in it. And so when I learned all about chakras back in the day, I had had never written any books. I went and read some books that had been written in the late 80s. I'd actually read some books in university too, because I took a course on Hinduism and Buddhism, and I did my essay, my final essay. I think I did it on chakras. I can't remember fully. I do remember that I did really well on it. I got like an A plus. Anyway, so we're just gonna go through red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. So we got the root chakra with red, which is very grounding. It's like when we open up that root, which you can do quite easily. You can do a thing where you just do a breath in like that. And when you breathe in, you might actually feel your, if you have a uterus, you might feel your uterus pull up. If you have testicles, you might feel them kind of like pop up a bit, and they'll kind of go whoop. And so when you breathe in, you might feel that little pop up, and then you breathe out and you relax down. So if you've been holding on to a lot of tension and stress, your body will feel that and hold it. Loves to hold tension and stress in your rectum. So it makes people such a-holes. So just let that go. So breathe in, feel that like pump up, and then breath out, and it'll just relax down. That's your root, and that's a pretty easy way to connect to your root. And then you've got your sacrum, which sacrum is like your reproductive area. It also involves like that whole bony structure around the sacrum, your sacral area, right? So when we think about what do our genitals do, they're involved in creativity. They're involved in all things to do with propagating humanity, keep humanity going. Without sexuality, without sex, we have no more life on the planet, right? So I will sacrifice myself to having sex to, well, no, actually, I'm getting to an age where I just can't make more children, but if I had to carry children for somebody to make humanity continue to grow, I might be one of those Handmaid's Tale people. I might do that. I don't know. So when we talk about the sacral chakra, it's all like that whole sacrum area. And so like the bottom part, if you put your hand on your belly and just like move your hand all the way down to like holding the bottom of your belly, that's kind of like where we're at. And then you've got your your pubic bone, right? It's like around there. So it is a lot to do with creativity, sensuality, pleasure, and also connecting on an emotional level. We hold trauma in a lot of these, for sure we can, but this is one that has a lot of trauma. So When all of these chakras are like open and moving, what you might find is that you feel more alive. You feel that you might also notice that people are kind of magnetized to you as well. And the sacral one in particular will magnetize a lot of people who really just want to get it on with you. So if you're finding like that maybe you're not attracting anybody sexually and all you really want to do is have like some one night stands or something, open up your sacral chakra, you'll probably have more sex than you want. So I don't highly recommend that though. I would highly recommend opening everything up and becoming super aware and attracting somebody that's good for you. So, or some buddies, maybe there's more than one. So yeah, yay to decolonizing relationships and being able to have multiple relationships. So I think I'll be talking about that in another conversation, and I might try and get some people who live the lifestyle of polyamory to talk about decolonizing relationships. There's quite a few out there who have great websites. Anyway, that was a sidetrack note. But so the sacral chakra, this is like our feelings come into here because it's our creativity too. It's also where you might start to feel when you tap into it that your creative energies and juices flow. And sometimes when people get their creative energies and juices flowing, they might not feel as sexual because the energy is being diverted or like transmuted into something that isn't sex related. Then we're going to move on to your solar plexus, which is, kind of like your rib, kind of like your rib cage, your upper abdomen, like right where like your rib cage ends. And yeah, you can just put your hand there. My hand lands there a lot, actually. I'll be in public and my hand will just kind of go there as like a safety se self-protection sort of thing. And this one has to do a lot with confidence. So if you can, sometimes you can see in people that they lack confidence. And when if you do energy work, you might notice when you like put your hand over that area that the energy just drops or that it's spinning in a funny direction. We might even get a chance to kind of feel that up in ourselves today. We'll see how the time goes. So you want to have a nice flowing sacral solar plexus so that it can be activated so you can feel confident, so you can feel and know what you'd like to choose. Knowing like confidently knowing your yeses and nos falls into that area, I feel. And we're moving into the heart chakra area. So there's like three chakras below the heart and three chakras above the heart in the main chakra system. And that heart in the middle is an amazing way to connect those. And oftentimes, what you'll find is that, like, if the solar plexus is off, you might also find that the throat is off. Or if the sacral chakra is off, you might also find that the third eye is off. Or if your root chakra is off, you might also find that the crown is off. So they kind of like move in together, and then the energy kind of swirls around in the heart, and then you can kind of come back. So that's another, kind of like visual you can use to approach chakras as well. So the heart's in that center, and you got three above, three below. So the heart is in the center of the chest. It's not in your like where your physical heart is. It's like in between your bobs, and sits right there. And it has a lot to do with just love in general. So heart chakra, love. It when you do breath work with somebody, you can connect through the heart and you'll breathe right into your heart and exchange heart energy. You can do that into any of the chakras, but a lot of times the practice starts with sharing the heart and moving that through. So you can really balance a lot of like things like intellectual attraction and physical attraction when it moves through that heart as well. And then we're going to move on to the throat chakra, which is where we kind of speak our truth. And it helps to be able to ask for what you need. It helps with communication because it's our throat and it's where we speak from. And it also helps with creating clear boundaries and saying what you would like. So I find a lot of people who have had any kind of stuff going on where they felt disempowered or they didn't feel like their they were able to speak up and say their will from, you know, from their solar plexus, then their throat chakra was like, oh, I got shut down. So then they don't speak, they don't always speak their truth and say what they need. So when you can speak your truth and you can say what your needs are and you can feel confident and you have, you know, really clear ways of communicating, whether you're expressing through words or through like written language or through verbal language, through, you know, the subtle nonverbal energies as well, that can be super seductive. Confidence is super seductive. So that goes along, you know, they kind of are in tandem and then they meet in the heart, right? So throat chakra is to be able to say what you desire and to be able to give consent. And you know how important on this show I talk about communication, consent, and curiosity. Those are really important. So communication and consent are that throat chakra. Curiosity kind of falls into that sacral chakra area when you think of those. And there's probably C's that I could find for every single one of the chakras, like heart for caring, and you know, confidence for for your solar plexus, community for your root chakra, and then your third eye would be all the clairs, clairvoyance, clairsentience, that sort of thing, all that psychic ability, and then your crown chakra. It already has a C, but it would also be things like creation. You know, this is you're connecting to the universe and creation. So, oh, there you go. There's my seven C's that I made up on the spot for you. Three that I use at all times, but there you go. So, good times. Oh my goodness. I just realized that I'm supposed to be on break, guys. So, I'm going to head to the next commercial break. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Voices Network, and we'll get those other chakras, your third eye and your crown, when we come back.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. I'm like looking at the things that I promised to talk to you guys about, and I'm like, what kind of crack was I on that I thought I could get through all this information that fast? But I was on crack, and there you go. So we're going to talk about third eye. We talked about the other five chakras before, And I gave the disclaimer that yes, I know this is cultural appropriation and doing my best with what we have in Western society right now. Yippee skippy. Let's move on to the third eye. So third eye is all about our intuition, foresight. It's like I was saying, we're like our clairsentience. So that's like clear feelings, like you know how you feel. And then there's also like clairvoyance, clear-sightedness. And so what I love about the third eye is that my third eye has been like super zippy my whole life. And I actually had to learn how to kind of tone it down because for a while it was making me feel a little kooky. So now I can navigate that a lot better, where I have heard people be like, oh, I just can't help myself. I see stuff. I'm like, you can always learn tools that can help you navigate things. You don't have to be so spiritually arrogant that you think that you're so amazing that you yours is out of control. Not really, my friend. All right. So what I love about my third eye is it attracted me to my husband right now. And in the weirdest, funniest way. I was actually just telling Ziva the story about this today, and I can't imagine that it's been like so many years that Mike's been in our life, and I don't think I ever told Ziva the story until today. And so for those of you who don't know, my husband is in construction, and before he we got together, he was working on my house. And at one point he asked me to do a reading for him. And so, for those of you who also don't know, I have done readings my whole life with different tools and in different ways. It's just how I am in the world. I felt things, I saw things, and I would say things that I thought everybody knew. I didn't realize that there were things that people were like holding secret to themselves, and I would just blurt it out, and it was really awkward. I didn't realize how awkward it was until I realized they didn't want those things said, where it was like evident to me. So, anyway, one of the things was so my now husband had come to me to have a reading, and I mean, I'm good, but I kind of cracked myself up at times too. And in the reading, he was single at the time. I was like, oh man, you have this amazing woman coming into your life. She is sexy. She's hot. You guys are going to love each other. She's going to be a lifer. She's amazing. I'm so happy for you. And I was genuinely happy for him. I thought he was such a lovely guy. Like, I was just like, oh, you really like deserve happiness. And she's so great. Oh my gosh, she's so great. And the sex is amazing. And like, I'm going on. Like, this woman's the shiz, man. Like, and so I forget about this because these things kind of like leave my brain. And then months later, we started dating, and it dawned on me one night, and I was like, wait a second, didn't I in a reading say that you were going to be with like such and such? And he was like, I knew it was you at the time when you said that. I was like, well, I certainly didn't know it was me. So you can use those psychic abilities in different ways. You never know how they're going to show up. So that third eye is great. Especially if you feel like you don't trust yourself, it's something that you can use to be able to learn how to feel things out, have tap into your knowing, right? So this is like really your when you clearly know something and it's no denying it. That is the beautiful thing about the third eye. And with that, you can really do a lot to connect with the person too. So when some people are like, well, how was I supposed to know? I'm not psychic. Well, there are times where yes, that's true. You're maybe you're not feeling it out. But if you are willing to be aware of your partner, if you're willing to be aware of yourself in their presence and how maybe your behavior might affect them, then you won't end up with those conversations of, are you mad at me? You must be mad at me. I can tell you're mad at me. You won't have to ask that. You'll know they're mad. And you'll also know that if they are mad, what You can have these conversations in advance, right? Communication's amazing. Thank you, throat chakra. And you can have these conversations in advance and say, so when you're upset, what do you prefer to do? Like, do you need space? Do you need time to be able to navigate what's going on? Do you need to talk right away? And then you can get that out so that you know what and how to navigate that. Instead of like in the moment going, why aren't you talking to me? How come you're not talking to me? Are you mad at me? You gotta be mad at me. It's like, wow, you just wanna like, and they drive you crazy, right? So having intuition enough to know, yes, oh, wait a second, I can trust that I know that person's upset with me right now. I also trust that I know they need space. I also trust that at some point we may or may not talk about this. And maybe it's just their thing to deal with. And if they do need to talk about it, I trust that I know that they can do that. They are a grown up. See where I'm going with that? Trust is amazing. And knowing and having your knowing and trusting your knowing is amazing too. So our third eyes are fantastic for that. And that's like right in between your kind of eyebrows. Depends on how big your eyebrows are. If you're somebody who has like eyebrows that go all the way up to your hairline, then I guess no. But here in between the eyebrows is where we're working at. And so this one is really great. If you have questions about life, if you have questions about what's going on, you can always do the things like dream journaling and ask questions before you go to bed, write it in a journal. Then when you wake up, write down your dreams, write down what the symbolism you're seeing. You might find that it's really quite potent. My dad loves to give me reports on the daily about what his dreams are about. And he's really big into horses for his symbology. So he'll be like, hey, I saw three horses last night. I saw a sick horse and I saw a fat horse. Then I saw a horse with a broken leg. Like I get all the horse details. And then he gives me his interpretation of what all the horse details mean because his dreams really speak to him in horses and people who have died. And the people who have died tell him stuff. So, but he's like, I don't know. How do I know? Why do I know this? I don't want to know this. So my dad is in denial of his third eye, and it actually sometimes creates a lot of headaches for him. And I think the more if he could just like embrace it, that would be great. But he's 87. He can only do what he can do at this point. I don't think he's willing to learn how to spin his chakras or anything like that. So if you can trust and know, you can say, I trust and I know. But keep it as simple as that. I trust and I know. I know and I trust. And if you don't really believe that, which can happen, if you really don't know that you trust, I choose to know and I choose to trust. I choose to trust and I choose to know. And then we go to the crown, which is kind of like the top of your head, where all like when you were a baby, the sutures of your brain, everything was a soft spot. That's kind of like exactly where the crown is or a soft spot. And this is also a lot of knowing in here as well, where the third eye is like seeing, but also knowing to me. And the crown chakra is all like connection to the universe. So connection to, being able to know that you're more than your body. Connection to knowing God or the universe or whatever terminology you want to use, connection to knowing that you are part of something way bigger. So you can do a few things for that. So yeah, what are we going to do? I think we're going to just do a really simple version of getting the chakras going. I want to give you guys a little lowdown on the Kundalini too, because I mentioned it and some of you might be like, oh, you never even talked about Kundalini. So Kundalini is what the simplified version is, the serpent at the base of your spine. So there's this idea that there's an energy coil that's in the shape of a serpent at the base of your spine. And as it awakens, it moves through your body. And it moves through, it like resides in your root chakra and it'll move up your spine, like serpentine energy up your spine. And it'll go through all seven chakras. And a lot of times when people go through this, they'll have a Kundalini awakening. And when that uncoils and goes up your spine, a lot of times people will have reactions. And I've seen a lot of videos on YouTube where people are on YouTube and like Instagram and all the socials, where people are doing these like activations to just get their Kundalini rising. I'm not a fan of that. It's something that if you're not prepared for it, you can start to feel like you've gone crazy. And especially if you don't have somebody to help you navigate through that. So keep it simple at first. If you are going to do any kind of chakra meditations, you can literally keep it so simple as close your eyes and visualize those Roy-Jibiv colors. Close your eyes and visualize red. If you really want to get sophisticated, you can spin red in the clockwise direction. And some of you who are not visual, it's just like put those colors around you. There's a lot of people who can't visualize. So the idea of meditating and being able to visualize things, sometimes it will open up. The more you practice this, and the more your third eye opens up, you might be able to see that. Third eye is also connected to your pineal gland, to your crown is connected to your pineal gland too, and that will, start to help open those things up. So you don't want it to happen fast. You want it to happen naturally. And there are people who have been yogis and practicing yoga for decades, and they, wait for that to come on. So your body might go through things like tremors or tingling or spontaneous like shaking, and they're called the kriyas. And different body movements. Your body will just start going into these positions that are like really spontaneous moves. However, people will try and make this happen fast. And I think one of the things is to be aware that it's not a blissful experience for everybody. It can be quite stressful on some bodies. And then it can also be, I think it's better to not have it as a goal. Kind of like I say, like, don't make orgasms a goal, just like have enjoyment through the process. And I think too that people need to also realize that you can and you probably would be really useful to do a lot of other work first. Go and get some trauma out. Get, work on your all things that you are attached to, because everything was going to shift. Do some work on your shadow self. Because you know what? You can actually end up with a lot of anxiety from this. I watched a family member go through this, and it was a very unconscious thing that happened. And it was really stressful to watch them go through it, and it was stressful for them to go through it. So be aware of that. We are going to do our last commercial, and then we're going to wrap this show up a little. So what else have I got to tell you guys? A few more things, quite a lot of things, but we'll see what we can fit in. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. So we were talking about chakras, etc., kundalini, awakenings in this show, and energy, and like, what is energy? How do we know if we're attracted to things? Like, where does that energy come from? What is it? You know what? It's kind of indefinable, undefinable. I just really break it down to the fact that we have energy in us, because once we're like electrified bodies with like an electrical system, there's energy in that, and energy can't be created or destroyed. So what happens? And then go back if you're just jumping in now. Go back and listen to the first segment where I talk about Ziva at the age of two and what we found out, which was a lot of fun. So before we get off the show today, I want to just give you guys a little brief on how you can play with energy. And you can do this with somebody you know, because I think it's going to be a lot easier than if you try to take this public at first. So one of the things that I learned from that great teacher I had, from the chakra teacher, was that he taught us how to project things like anger and fear and rage at people, so that when we were in the class, so that we could learn how putting up energy shields were effective. And so that was a lot of fun. And then we would project love and then see what it felt like to try and put a barrier up to love and then let the barriers go down, how to let it go through your body. But that was like several days of a workshop. So I'm just going to give you guys like a real brief lowdown how to feel energy if you're really new at this. You may have seen people do this before where they do that rub your hands together, get yourself all stimulated on your handles, and then just put your hands about, a foot apart, or maybe closer if you want to at first, until you feel what feels like a taffy kind of a pull or like a resistance kind of energy. And then you can grow it and just move your hands until you don't feel that taffy anymore. I can make my hands go like beyond my body to still feel that. Like, oh, how did she make her hands go beyond her body? That's a whole other story for another day. But I'm just going to put it within the screen width. So if you are somebody who can see energy, I think you might see this as kind of cool, because it can kind of look like taffy pull energetically, like this like stringy white kind of fun taffy pull. And you can just play with it back and forth. And then you can put your hands on you. Because if you're doing this and you've got the light that feels like light and white and happy, put it on your body. Put it on your body wherever you feel something like stress or pain or anything like that. So, here, this last week I had like some sinus crap going on. So I was doing a lot of energy work on my sinuses. And then I had this crazy great insight that it was like, oh, all these vitamins I was taking hasn't shifted it. So what's going on? Because normally that would shift it really fast. And I checked on all the things and it was like, okay, so body, what do you know? And I had like massive grief and I didn't even know from where. And I took like a homeopathic for grief, and within like 3 hours, it was totally changed. Now I'm a big fan of homeopathics. And so completely shifted it. Now I just have a little bit of schmirk, as my dad would call it, schmirk, schmirk. And I would have a little schmirk and then I'm good. So play with the energy, put it on your body, see how it feels. And then go, if you have a pet, put it on your pet. If you have plants, put it on your plants. If you have a partner or a family member that's nearby that's willing to let you do that, put your hands on them, see how it feels. And then play with it too. Like move your hand up and down off the body and see how that feels, and do it on your whole body and like scan yourself and see, is the energy closer here or farther away here? Or like, so for those of you who aren't watching video, my hand is up on my forehead. And so you might want to put your hand close, see how that feels, move your hand away, see how that feels. And what you'll start to notice is you're going to become energy aware. And so when you are meeting and greeting people, you might feel like, I feel something. What is that? You might feel a draw in, a pull in. You might feel a resistance, and you'll start to understand more and more what these things mean for you. So play with it. Like, this is your energy to play with. And if you do need tips, tools, or ways to navigate that, I have quite a few courses on my site. So you can go to militsayelenish.com. I have like a whole year of psychic development, which teaches a lot of different tools and tips on how to tap into your energy. I have I have a few other courses on there as well for like happiness hormones and you name it. So you guys can go have fun on there. And if you are interested in training with me for courses, or if you want to come to retreats, connect with me. I do have retreats going on. I just had one this last weekend for trauma release, and it was amazing. It was a one-day retreat, and we had a lot of fun. And the bodies walked away feeling a lot better than they did walking in. There was a lot more flexibility. There was more flexibility in the emotions, but also more flexibility in their bodies too. It's amazing. Bodies are such a reflection. So, guys, I am so grateful for you. Thank you so much for listening tonight. And remember to stay tuned in. And what else? You know what it is. You're going to stay tuned in and turned on. And there might be a part two to this. There might not be. I feel like go practice this, have fun with this, and maybe in a few months we'll come back and do some more. All right.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.